Welcome to the Resource Network. I'm Deborah Davis, your host and the director of the Cincinnati Minority Business Assistance Center. The Resource Network will provide you with information to help launch your business and grow your business. Tune in every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on WCVG 1320 a.m. to learn more about the business resources in your area. The Resource Network, helping you to scale. Good morning. I'm Deborah Davis, host of the Resource Network. Thank you for joining us today. We have a sponsor today. Spectrum is our sponsor for today's show, and I just want to share some information with you. On Tuesday, May 19th at 2 p.m., Spectrum Reach is hosting Looking Beyond, a roundtable discussion webinar featuring David Asman, host of Fox Business Network, Bridget Weston, acting CEO of SCORE, and Mark Lanford, executive director of Small Business Development Center. The panelists will share expert insights and resources to help local businesses think beyond the current climate and thrive in the coming months. This event is completely free and tackles the issues so many local businesses are currently facing. So if you want to register for this event, and I really recommend that you do, please go to the African American Chamber of Commerce website and click on the link to register for Looking Beyond, the virtual event sponsored by Spectrum. And I want to thank Spectrum for being our sponsor today. And this is a really good segue into what it is that we're doing on the Resource Network. For the last month and a half, almost 2 months now, we have been focused on businesses during the COVID-19 crisis and how we can help them not only in the crisis, but after the crisis, post-crisis time, how we can come up with strategies to help them not only survive COVID-19, but to thrive post-COVID-19. And what we have done is switched up the format a little bit. So we've invited Dr. J.C. Baker, who is the founder of J.C. Baker & Associates, a business consulting firm that provides management strategy, leadership guidance, training, and innovation strategy for multinational organizations, mid-sized businesses, educational institutions, sports franchises, and public sector organizations. Dr. Baker has a Doctor of Business Administration and Organizational Leadership, and he is certified professional in financial services. He's a certified professional in financial services. His doctorate and MBA are from North Central University in California, and his BA is in history from the University of Cincinnati. So we have incorporated all of his knowledge, his expertise into our format, and we call it the Business Doctor Section. Our format. And so what we do is we have Dr. Baker, he talks to a business owner. And so our business owner today is going to be Abo Vroom, who is the co-founder and managing partner of Key Capital Partners, a venture capital and private equity firm based in Cincinnati. And Abo earned his BSE in Civil and Environmental Engineering from the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, and his MBA from Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University. He is a native of Detroit, actively involved in Cincinnati's social and business community since 2013. He is a leader and has advised K's business portfolio, most notably operating Hire Staffing, a recruiting company specializing in manufacturing and healthcare recruiting. Abo enjoys solving business-related puzzles by delivering solutions grounded in organizational strategy and finance. So today we have Abo Vroom from Key Business Company, and we have J.C. Baker. So let me just say hello to both of these gentlemen this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks per usual.
Abo, good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. I'm sorry if I messed up some of your bio. There's a lot of information here I'm trying to share and get out. So I do apologize for that. But Abo, I want to start with you. You have a staffing company. You can explain that a little bit and talk a little bit about what's going on within your company during this pandemic. And then what issues or challenges that you have that Dr. Baker can assist you with, because we do have the doctor in the house. This is the business doctor section. So can you just share some of that information with us?
Absolutely, absolutely. And thank you for having me on. Our organization, Higher Staffing Services, is a full-service MBE recruiting and staffing company based here in Cincinnati. We have offices located in the Louisville and the Detroit markets, and we specialize in manufacturing and healthcare recruiting. Our biggest value that we bring to companies is how do we do a full-scale recruitment process to really partner with healthcare and manufacturing organizations on their HR staffing and their payroll needs. So at the end of the day, what Hire looks to do is identify individuals who are looking for a career, not just individuals who are looking for simple placements and that check from week over week. What's been really interesting during this time is that we have, within our sectors, been able to navigate both the manufacturing world, which has slowed down a bit, but we've been able to be fortified within the more essential businesses. So our manufacturing sector has moved quite substantially. But within the healthcare and our professional organizations, such as our staffing within hospitals and also some of our projects that we work with, those type of opportunities have really slowed down. So we've seen a constraint, a slowdown within our revenue. Fortunately, we have been able to position ourselves throughout this crisis by being resourced both from a crisis management standpoint and also from a financial standpoint. We have a strong relationship with our bank and bankers, and our business model was able to help us transition into practices from our office into our home pretty seamlessly. But I do recognize that a lot of businesses are not in that position that we're in. And so I would definitely like to use this time to think about some of the thoughts, as you mentioned in the intro, of how do we navigate our risks through this crisis and beyond. So two questions come to mind now that we're at this new normal. The first is, how does a business really manage its risks in a time where it's so much uncertainty what that next month will be? And when I think about our risks, we really think about how do we make purchase decisions or staffing decisions, et cetera, when next month could completely change from the environment that we're in at the present. Second question I have
What was your second one so I can make sure that I answer it comprehensively enough and that it doesn't bleed over? That there's two things, and I actually have a counter question as well. Number one, we talk about what decisions should be made now in order to be able to grow the business, even amid uncertain times. Well, a part of that is, one, looking at your market and how much of that market do you control. And when I say control, I don't mean your contact or your network, meaning your influence to the space and how that space views you as an influencer. And then number two, you're talking about federal or regulations, guidelines that come down from an authority that you have to adhere to. So that's two different channels. So let me explain that a little further. Let's say we're talking Ohio and Governor DeWine says the new mandate for companies in your position have to operate in this realm, this way. All of a sudden you say, well, we're not constituted to do that. Now we have to build or change or adjust our company model in order to be able to fit the guideline. That's one thing. And we're not sure about what all those guidelines look like. So you have to walk cautiously, and you have to be prepared to be able to adjust in the event that that information hits us in real time. However, what you can control is the market. So this is where my counter question comes from. I actually expected to hear that your business ramped up in the healthcare space and then retract it in the manufacturing space, but you actually articulated the opposite. Talk to me about how your business model actually went in reverse in the healthcare space, knowing that frontline workers were needed. Obviously, we had to beef up all things medical, whether it's from administration of tests or to be able to take over for other people that were no longer capable of working due to their own illnesses that they contracted by being in the front lines. What was it about that dynamic that had you guys going reverse in that realm?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And even entering into this time period, we fully expected that. Our healthcare team, from an engagement standpoint, our business development officers really jumped the gun and really started talking to all of our clients, because we recognized relationship was a big portion of how do we secure more business through this time. But what we immediately noticed was that within the market, even nationally, right, unless a procedure was either life-threatening or COVID-related, it was not being done within a hospital, right? So all functions, whether it be the cafeteria down to, you know, general procedures, were not being done unless it was life-threatening. And so this completely stopped. So from a recruiting network, recruiting aspect, hospitals completely contracted. They did a lot of furloughing, a lot of laying off. I wouldn't say laying off, a lot of furloughing to reduce their team to really adjust the needs within the operation. So for us, it was a bit of a mental pivot of thinking that this was going to be an overall engagement. What we recognized within the manufacturing world was that there was still a need, especially from essential services, and we're thinking and thinking more so on the supply chain. So we're talking about the suppliers who need to give Kroger their food, you know, from the carts to the gasoline individuals to, you know, up and down that supply chain. These were the businesses that we saw ourselves really engaging into on the recruiting model to really help them out overall. So you're exactly right. And we were really thinking that was going to be the impact, but it did not happen, especially in the beginning of this new normal.
So the point that you make there is really good, because you're talking about, even if it's in the medical field, you still had a lot of individuals that were considered non-essential. And so those positions were eliminated, which by then direct effect was able to minimize how much recruiting you could do, because there were sections and divisions in the medical space that you just simply couldn't recruit for anymore, correct?
Correct.
So in that case, you look at, well, what is our influence to the market? I'm going to give you a quick example here before our break. But when you look at 9/11 happened, there was a lot of panic, not just here in the United States, but our neighboring countries. And it changed how we looked at air flight and airports and travel. Well, what did that do? That opened the gate for new technology companies. It opened the gate for new processes at the airport. It opened the gate for new businesses to operate differently regarding the new mandates that were created after 9/11. Well, COVID-19 will be no different. It just depends on where you are in your position to be able to say, okay, we recognize that we're uncertain about what's going to be considered essential versus non-essential. That wasn't even really a term that we talked about last year. You talk about social distancing and what does that mean to the amount of people you can hire. Now you should be in a position amongst your clientele base to say, this is what your new normal looks like. These are the people you should go find. This is the skill set you should have. And now you're building your business and then offering it to them. It's called idealized influence, where you create the idea that influences the individuals that participate with your service, your product, or your offering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is awesome. And also what was interesting is the pivot in how do we
supply one moment. We have to pause there for one moment because we need Deborah to chime back in here for a moment.
Thank you, Dr. Baker. Thank you, Abel. Thank you so much. Yes, I just want to once again make the announcement about Spectrum's virtual event that's coming up Tuesday, May 19th at 2 p.m. And it's called Looking Beyond. It is a roundtable discussion webinar featuring David Osman, host of Fox Business Network, Bridget Weston, acting CEO of SCORE, and Mark Lanford, executive director of Small Business Development Center. The panelists will share expert insights and resources to help local businesses think beyond the current climate and thrive in the coming months. Please go to the African American website and register for this fantastic event that's coming up on Tuesday, May 19th. So now we're going to segue right back to Dr. Baker and Mr. Vroom and continue our conversation on strategies in dealing with post-COVID-19.
Okay, so back to you, Abo.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And to that point, what's interesting, when you talk about innovation, another opportunity that we found ourselves that we had to adjust to is how do we deliver our service? So to your point, from a recruiting standpoint, our job is to interview individuals help those individuals identify a job, and then help them through the process when they interview with our particular client, get through their background and drug testing opportunities, and eventually start working. Well, because of COVID, right, a lot of those processes also became elongated, right? So no longer are the courts open for background testing. No longer are clients willing to readily accept an interview for an individual to walk into their facilities without being tested or without being cleared as far as the COVID environment. So from a business model standpoint of how to deliver the service, it also became a constraint that we had to think about and also pivot during that time so that we could deliver our service efficiently.
So this falls into two categories here. One category we speak to all the time about our clientele base. We actually mentioned it on a few episodes ago for all you listeners that are regulars, and that's considered vision mapping, and that's looking in the future at certain trends, substitutes, complements of your services or your products, and then understanding what direct causal effect does it have on your business. And then number two is looking at your strategic partnerships, in which those strategic partnerships are literally the lifeline of any major company. You have to be able to connect with an entity that has not only value in what you do, but they have a vested interest in making sure that you incline, so therefore you're providing value back to them so that it assists their incline. So in this case, you're talking about a few aspects where you need to develop a pipeline of strategic partners that run in that space that have some form of development or procedural innovation that allows you to be able to continue to offer those services in a way that may be considered non-traditional but still work. So for an easy example, and hopefully this is clear to the listeners out there and to you as well, is that when we look at Zoom, which Zoom seemed like something that was revolutionary to people when the month of March got here, but Zoom has existed for a long time, so it's platforms like Slack. Well, people decided to start using those as primary aspects of their business now. And that actually will not go away because of not only the convenience factor, but how much more you can get done in a small amount of time. It'll reduce the amount of commutes and other aspects that you have to deal with. Well, in this case, when you talk about background checks and you talk about different documentations and processes that people tend to go through in order to get hired, there's going to be some strategic partners with some advancements that hire will have to connect to and say, hey, this is what we offer and this is how we offer it. This is what we can bring back to you, but we need your technology to operate this way. Now, your clients or the individuals that you solicit to provide those services to, they may not be thinking about that. Now, you have to go in and persuade them that the line of thinking that you're bringing to them, the imagination that you've created for them, is a way for them to be able to grow their business. Now, you've directly influenced your consumer base, but simultaneously, you've stabilized your operation even amidst an uncertain time. Does that logic make sense?
It does. Thanks for that. I think it's a really interesting segue to my second question and thought. So, How and what methods does a service-based business communicate and develop revenue-generating opportunities or strategies during these times where their clients are also looking to find ways to manage their own risks, their own costs, even their own procedures? How does that happen?
That's really probably the toughest question that's been asked, and it's not tough because there's not an answer. It's tough because it's difficult to execute. Is that now you cannot be looking at yourself, and this message is not just to you, this message is to everyone. You cannot be looking at yourself as how do I generate revenue? Everything has to be about how do I generate revenue for everyone that's connected to me. So it's not that you now become a consultant, but you are ideating to make sure that whatever you do when you're connecting to your clientele base, that when I say bring value, that now you're growing their company and not just growing it with that one-to-one relationship where you do something, they do something, and it, you know, has an output. We're talking about exponentially growing their operation. So if we go back to the original example that we just used, if you come up with a system where you have a strategic partner that has a technology that allows you guys to background check a little bit differently or run a different hiring process, well, not only does that help you, now that's a solution for them with all of their other needs that they, you might not be attached to. So there might be some things that you're doing with that company, but no entity is doing 100% of their work with a company. They've got other ancillary vendors or suppliers that they're working with on a host of factors. So that means that now you have to think about, okay, when I go talk to ABC company, yes, I want them to hire me, but they're having financial struggles. What can I think about that fits in my wheelhouse that I can connect that maybe they haven't seen that brings them new revenue? Now their new revenue not only takes care of them, but it also makes sure that I'm hired and employed as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a skill set that most entrepreneurs and business owners don't have because they're just not traditionally trained in that level of ideation. Their ideation only lies at the point of where their business lies. Now you have to look at their business models, determine what it touches, and then be able to assist them with that. Or, and I mean this jokingly and I mean it seriously, they need to hire me to be able to bring in all of those different ancillary aspects and button up all the different elements.
No, that's definitely interesting and helpful. But even to that point of ideation, thinking about how to impact a client's business models, to a degree, especially service-based businesses, we're calling in to companies and trying to get on the phone to have those conversations of how and what their business model is. And oftentimes those businesses are responding, well, today is not a good time, this week is not a good time. So how do we combat that no to even understand a bit more about what value that we know that we can bring to those companies, that we can truly portray that and really and help demonstrate that overall?
Well, that is also a very difficult thing to execute on a daily basis because it doesn't fit the wheelhouse, but it's legitimately understanding those models better than them, and a lot of times taking the time to learn that detracts from the time that you need to run your business, but conversely, taking the time to learn it helps you run your business better. So when we go into a business, and I'll just use myself as an example with a client that we were working with 2 days ago, is that we asked them, and they're in the event business space, and so as we're working with them, we're saying, well, what do you know about this client? What do they traditionally do? Who is their typical client? How do they typically send those services out, and how do they typically connect with those members? Well, they really wasn't sure. They just knew the service that they provided that entity. I said, well, you need to really understand how they're even engaging and how people understand and participate with them. So now if you do that, you can go to them and say, look, we know on average your consumer market is X. You work with them like this in this manner, and you typically convert here. However, times have changed that. So because they've changed that, look, use my service like this, and what that's going to do for your people is this new thing. Now they're going to recognize you this way. They're going to thank you for doing so, but then it's going to elongate your relationship with them, which then by implication elongates the relationship that you have with them because they're going to need you longer to continue to operate in that new way that you created. And that just becomes, you know, difficult because there's a lot of research involved. You have to know how to research the information. Then you have to know how to articulate it in a way. And that's only if you get their ear, which is back to your point, they may not have an ear. But everyone has an ear when you say, look, I know your business and I know you're suffering. Let's talk about how we can generate revenue during this time. Please, who makes that decision and get in front of that decision maker, because that's actually important to everyone. And so it depends on the nature of your relationship with them, obviously your lead in a conversation, and what's the value proposition that you're offering.
That's excellent. That's excellent. That's excellent. So I'm hearing a lot of make sure that not only that we understand the value, what that business is, but also creative ways and very distinct, honest ways of how do we talk about our own value proposition that we deliver to clients so that we can truly help them out, even in times of crisis or even when it's regular time as well.
Well, see, with you, you're providing people. You're providing human capital mm-hmm. to them, and you're doing it in a streamlined version that takes the burden off of them. Is that right?
That's correct.
But in that case, you're not on a regular basis ideating for them on how to make their business better. So if you're not doing that to make their business better, they'll just see you as human capital. You know, it's one of those things that I have some strategic partners that are accountants. And what's amazing about these accountants and financial strategists is that they're looking at the numbers of these businesses. And so as they're looking at the numbers, they're like, look, we don't know your business model so well, but we do recognize that your money is going in reverse. And quarter over quarter, you know, you're showing a negative return here. Or there's some inconsistencies in how you generate your revenue. You're going to need some assistance here and here, but I don't know how to activate that. But I know someone that does. And that's how I get involved with that particular distribution channel, if you will. The reason why I'm using that as an example is that that accountant knows that person's business because they're just looking at the numbers. You have the ability to understand their business because you're providing human capital. And so because you're providing human capital, these are people that are doing work in certain divisions, and you can gain valuable intel from that to be able to offer them new information that allows them to alter their operation to generate more revenue. And so you have to find a method of being able to extract that information, attaching it to your new value proposition with a process that allows you to articulate it to them so that they can see you differently and engage with you on all things, not just human capital, but how do we also grow our business through your human capital?
Okay, thank you. I'm going to have to interject here. We're almost at the end of the show. So I'm sorry, Abu, did you have something else you wanted to add before we wrap up the show?
Oh no! I think it's all extremely relevant and very helpful, and aligned to a lot of the opportunities that we talk about, called the higher advantage, and how, from a value prop, what we do from a workforce consultancy and workforce management process that we do. And I think you're spot on comment. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for participating and being the guests today on the Resource Network. Dr. Baker, as usual, you are phenomenal with your strategies and insight. And Mr. Vroom, I thank you so much for participating and being our guest today and sharing your challenges that you're having with hire and allowing other businesses who may be listening to learn from your experiences. So thank you so much for that. Before I end, I just want to remind everyone that Spectrum is having a webinar May 19th, Tuesday at 2 p.m. called Looking Beyond, which is what we have been doing today and we've been doing for the last several months, looking beyond COVID-19 and coming up with strategies. They're having a roundtable discussion featuring David Asman, host of Fox Business Network, Bridget Weston, Mark Lanford from the Small Business Development Center, and the panelists will share their expert insights and resources. So please go to the African American Chamber website, click on that link to register for Looking Beyond, which is sponsored by Spectrum. And I am positive that if you think today was great, that listening to these gentlemen talk about business strategies beyond COVID-19 from their perspective, I guarantee you that Spectrum is going to have a phenomenal webinar on May 19th, Tuesday at 2 p.m. So please check in, click that link, and register. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Resource Network. I'm Deborah Davis, your host. Thank you, Mr. Baker. Thank you, Mr. Vroom. Have a great weekend and enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Resource Network. If you would like additional information about the subjects we covered today, or if you want information about the Minority Business Assistance Center, a program that provides MBE, EDGE, and VBE certifications, business planning, access to capital, and bonding, as well as business professional training, please call me, Deborah Davis, at 513-751-9900, or visit us at www.mbaccincy.com. Or drop in at the African American Chamber of Commerce, 2303 Gilbert Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio. Program theme music provided by Timeless Recording Studios. Jamil Zion, singer and songwriter, and Chris Turner, producer and chief engineer.